And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. It's the All-Star break, which means it's time to have our annual conversation, the State of the Union of Major League Baseball, being supplied by the one and only Todd Tischner, Major League Baseball umpire from Southwest Kansas. Todd, how you doing, buddy?
I'm wonderful. State of the Union makes me sound pretty high up, so I appreciate that.
Well, you're like I told you earlier before we came on, you're becoming a big deal. I'm seeing more videos of you on social media and on the internet, and so I figured the next stop is you're just going to be the commissioner of baseball or the president of the umpires union, if there's such a thing, and you could be the guy at the pulpit with the State of the Union address during the All-Star break.
I don't know if I would take you up on that offer or not. I don't know if I'm a big political guy, but that sounds great. Thanks for the compliment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I got to get the really important stuff out of the way early with you, and that is, do you have all your chores done yet?
Actually, no. Just starting. You wouldn't believe my weekend to get home. I finished in Miami on Sunday and was trying to get to Wichita to watch my son's state championship game yesterday, Monday morning. Well, my plane in Miami sat on the airplane for 3 hours delayed, so I missed my plane in Wichita. So I landed in Wichita, decided to drive a car, got to Wichita at 5 in the morning, watched my son's game yesterday. So we just got home yesterday evening, but we got a state champion in the house. So the 12-year-olds won state. So
awesome.
I was excited about that.
Well, it was worth all that hassle to get there and see that, man. That's fantastic. Tell them congratulations.
I will, yeah. We head to North Platte, Nebraska on Wednesday, and then I'm going to get to watch him play on Thursday, and then I'm flying to New York on Friday. So it's a short week.
But other than that, got nothing going on. Yeah, sounds like a pretty boring week for you. Hey, well, let's ask about your health, because it was interesting. I have to share this story with our listeners. So I'm perusing Facebook one day, and I see a video of an umpire getting hit in a bad area on a foul ball, and so I'm looking at this, and there's no name of the umpire, but I see the number 13 on the sleeve, and I know you wear number 13, and I'm like, oh my Lord, that's Tischner. And so I told my buddy, told DT, of course, you know DT very well, and I told DT, and I told some other folks that know you, and I said, oh my goodness, you see this? And so I sent a text to Todd, and I said, hey, how you doing? And then Todd sent me a video of he got nailed again later in the game. Max Scherzer was on the mound, who is the starting pitcher for the National League in the All-Star game tonight, who throws, 98, 99, 100 miles an hour at times. You had a rough day there for the Giants-Nationals game, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't know it. I think that day, that catcher for D.C., like, made a record of most passed balls since, like, the 1800s or something like that. So I just happened to get hit on two of them. Unfortunately, it's part of the gig, but the first one that went untouched, Brandon Crawford swung through a pitch and the catcher didn't even touch it, and it hit me in just the right spot, I guess. So it cracked the protective equipment that I wear, and thankfully that I wear it.
Yeah, that's why you have it. And what's the worst shot that you've taken as an umpire in regards to getting hit by a foul ball, or if a catcher and a pitcher get crossed up with one another?
Yeah, obviously that one probably was the biggest one. I mean, a fastball hit me straight in the pretty great area of expectations to not get hit, and I'd say, you know, the ones that hurt the worst that just bruise and hitches the best of the inside of the thigh, or the untouched balls that hit you right at the jaw area, I feel like a Mike Tyson punch. Just the dangers of the job, I guess, that nobody really ever sees.
Yeah, absolutely. Todd Tischner, Major League Baseball umpire from Southwest Kansas, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Did you have a chance to watch the Home Run Derby last night?
You know what? I didn't, because we were driving home.
Because you were driving home, that's what I thought.
Yeah, we were driving home from Wellington, Kansas, so got to watch my son hit a home run, so I guess that's better than anything watching Bryce Harper do, I guess.
What position did your son play, Todd?
He played third base, first base, and pitched all day yesterday, so I got to see him in three different spots, and he hit well, hit a home run, and they had over 200-foot fences for the state tournament, and that was pretty fun.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get into the meat and potatoes of what I want to ask you. Let's start with this, because we were having this conversation the other day here on our show about instant replay, and you and I have talked about this the last couple of years and the impact it has, and I know overall the umpires seem to like it because it gives you – it's basically a security blanket. If you have a really bad call or something that you saw differently and replay can get it right, you guys are all about getting it right. Maybe your pride is hurt at times, but it's all about getting it right. That's the point of instant replay. But do you, as umpires – and this is a question we were asking the other day – because we seem to see it in football, and I don't know if it's so much in baseball, but in football, we'll see where the whole, is his knee down, is it a fumble? And back in the day before replay, if the knee was close to being down, a lot of times you'd hear the whistle, and they'd stop play, and you go back and look replay on TV and go, well, his knee wasn't down, so that negated a touchdown. Now what we see in the National Football League, many times it's obvious the knee is down, but the officials go ahead and let it play out, knowing that replay will overturn it, so that it, by doing it that way, they don't blow the whistle too early to stop what could be a big play. Do you think that happens with Major League Baseball from time to time for you guys or not?
I would venture to answer this question absolutely 100% not.
Okay.
For the fact that it just happens too quick, where in football, that plays out, that ball lands, and that ball's coming out, and they don't have their whistles in their mouth. They're just hanging on. They can let everything play out. Well, if I've got a play at second base or a play at first base that's so close and it's a whacker, that's all I'm thinking of is to try to get that play right. So I can't stop and think and go, or even a better one is a home run that hits a yellow line or above the yellow line.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it hits the yellow line and I call it a home run and it's dead and it's in play, we're the hardest part for replay is where to put those runners.
Right.
So we should try to keep that ball in play, and then let them overturn it to a home run, because then the runners get to where they're supposed to get and then get to a home run. Well, it just happens so fast that you just want to get it right that I have never been able to chance to stop and tell myself, oh, I think that's a home run, but I'm not for sure, so I'm going to keep it in play. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. It does.
You know, it happens way too fast for me that I go, that's a home run. I'm calling it a home run. And then it all of a sudden, oh, it's not a home run. Now replay's got to put the runners where they got to put them. And fortunately, that's what the rules are set up for guys on the replay to be able to put runners wherever they need to go, you know, if we kill the ball. Now, you're exactly right. I think that probably helps the NFL. By leaving the ball in play because of yardage and where they're going to – you don't know where they're going to run that football back to. But in baseball, it's mainly where we're going to place runners if we've killed the ball. And we have three positions to put them, first, second, or third base, or if you're going to score them, you know. So it's a little easier in baseball to just call what you need to call, and then we'll fix it if we have to fix it.
Todd Tischner, Major League Baseball umpire, guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. So let's I know you've told us this before, but in case people don't know that missed our interviews the last couple years, I think this is pretty fascinating since we're talking about replay. How do they handle and how did it determine who's in New York actually watching those replays to make the call to the umpire who's back in, say, Kansas City on the field?
They've done a lot of research, and I think that it is working for on our end. That when they started replay, we didn't want they didn't want us talking to somebody that hadn't been on the field, that doesn't know the rules, that didn't know the rules. That was just a technician that said, overturn that call, because there's a lot more involved to interference instructions and little intricacies of the ballparks where the ball hits and doesn't hit. That a technician that hasn't been on the field understands. So what they did was created two extra crews. So we have 17 crews of four-man crews, and at any given time, there are two crews in replay in New York. So when I'm on the headset in Kansas City, I'm talking to an umpire, and that is a good thing. A lot of people early thought, oh, well, that umpire is just going to stick up for his umpire and call what he called on the field. But, you know, they have so many tabs on us that can't happen. I'm going to call what I feel is right. If I have to overturn Joe West, I'm going to overturn Joe West. But on the other end, if I don't have to overturn Joe, I'm not going to, because I see what he sees. I see that it could be a possibility of a call stands. You know, with this call could go either way. Where that's the most important one, because you as a Kansas City fan, if the call stands, I guarantee you the Kansas City fan doesn't see it as a stand. They see it as whatever should have went their way. And as a technician in New York, I believe that would have happened if we didn't have umpires on the other end of that headset. So I think on that aspect, it's going really smooth.
Now share with Pokes how you get graded, because you get graded after every game. Is that right?
Yeah, both on the field and in replay. So different types of evaluations, obviously, when you're in replay. But when I'm on the field, every call at first base, every call at second base, every call at third base, and then every pitch that I call at the plate is evaluated. I'll go into my central desk the next day by noon, and I'll be able to see exactly what pitches were off the plate, how many pitches I pulled, and which pitches I missed, and then there will be comments if needed. They track. Three pitches on a left-handed batter outside that were all fastballs. Well, they track that. It's a day and age of keeping numbers and analytical numbers, and so they'll see why. They'll wonder why I missed three fastballs on the outside corner to a lefty. And obviously, I'll have to go back and look and see, am I sitting up inside too far? Is the catcher pulling pitches in that I didn't see? You know, there are a lot of factors to that. It's a learning tool. I'm glad they do it. But I tell you what, they don't, just like in most jobs, they don't call to tell you a good job when you do a good job, but you're only going to get a phone call when the bad things happen. And that's the tough part about this gig, is most of my calls are on Sports Center. They're good, and so everybody gets to see it. You know, the trash in the mornings that dumps the trash all over my alley,
All right, Todd, we're having you're trailing off a little bit on the phone there. I don't know if it's kind of sliding on your or not. We're talking to Todd Tischner, Major League Baseball umpire, here today on the Sports Ticket. What's the toughest rule for umpires to implement or to explain or to get right? And then the second part of that question is, what's the toughest call to make for a Major League Baseball umpire?
The toughest call is always the next call. You know, the rules are so many different rules. I'd say a lot of people get are you hearing it better now? Is that all right?
It's a little bit. It's still a little bit tunnely there for a little bit. So it's better at first,
sorry.
And then kind of tails off a little bit.
Alrighty, sorry. Yeah.
There, that's much better.
I'd say the NFL construction crew is probably the hardest to understand as a fan. You know, when we say a ground ball to the second baseman and the runner runs into him as he's fielding that ball. Well, that's interference. And so, you know, we're going to call him out. We're going to call the batter runner out. Well, say that the batter runner is rounding first and hits the runner and hits the first baseman and doesn't get to go to second base. Well, you know how many people scream that's interference? When in all reality, that's obstruction. So whenever you hear interference on a play like where the runner gets obstructed, you know right away that nobody really knows that rule.
Yes, right.
And so that's the hardest, probably, you know, thing to get behind. There's so many rules, you know, to get through, and that's basically what an apprenticeship of 14 years in the minor leagues will do for you. A couple thousand games in the minor leagues to screw things up and get it right, and you're expected to get it right in the big leagues then.
Well, we're talking about the toughest call to make. You answered that right off the bat. You said the next call is the toughest one to make. So you answered actually both parts of that one pretty easily.
There's ballparks, say Houston, you go into left field, but it's not a straight wall. When you go to Houston, there's a left field, it's nice and straight, and then all of a sudden you're heading to center field on the wall, and it goes back 20 feet. Third base umpire can't even see back in that corner there. Every ballpark has little intricacies. The green monster. Line drives off the green monster. If the second base umpire has to go out for a catch, no catch off that monster, and it line drives off of it, and that left fielder plays it perfectly, there's going to be a play at second base that the third base umpire has to make. So nobody sees those rotations that we're on top of this base. Nobody sees. I think that the normal person would go, oh, wow, there's going to be a play at second base right now. Well, there's got to be an umpire there.
Todd Tischer, Major League Baseball umpire of Southwest Kansas, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Okay, so baseball in general, you've been a Major League Baseball umpire now, I think, full-time since 2012. Is that right?
That's correct. I'm going on 9 years, and you say, how's that 9 years? That's not very good math. this is my ninth full season because of from 2007 to 2012, I went up and down as a AAA umpire, and I got 500 games accumulated. So as I got hired in 2012, the max that they can give me for that contract is 130 games a year. So out of the 580 games I did, I got credited 260 games. So I signed a contract starting my third year, basically. So this is my ninth season.
So as you get more experience with each and every year, does the job become easier? Or do you think it becomes harder because of the athletes and the speed of the game? And then there seems to be, of course, replay can help you, but also can complicate things at times, too. Since you started in the big leagues as an umpire to now, how would you assess how things have changed in the game?
Well, I definitely have seen change. And it's harder. It doesn't get any easier, that's for sure. And the first day that I tell myself it does, that means that I'm done working. I'm the type of person that wants to get better every day and looks at what I can do. Not even on the field, just as a dad, as a friend, as a person, you know. And so as the change is coming baseball. The electronics that are in the system now, what we have to deal with, you know, seeing super, super slow motion play at first base, you know, the super slows that ESPN has developed. They didn't have that just 10 years ago, you know. And the players themselves, you don't see, I would venture to say 9 out of 10 times you don't see a first and second no out bunts anymore. You better be ready for them to try to hit that ball off the wall. And so the game itself, you know, the new generation of players is changed. They're just as respectful. They're fine, you know, on that aspect toward umpires. They know that we have they know that our job has gotten harder. I think that they've seen some plays. You know, I just had a play in Boston where I could bet my year's salary that I got right, and it got overturned, you know. And I don't know how many players, you know, came up and said that he was off by a foot. How did they see that? Well, you know, once I get the video the next day, I see the angle they had, and I see that I missed the call, you know. I'd say that's probably the hardest part.
When you look at the game itself now, and it seems like it has changed. There's a statistic out there I'm sure you're aware of where there have been more strikeouts in Major League Baseball than there have been base hits. And never in an MLB season has there been a season where more strikeouts than base hits, which tells people, if they want to connect the dots, that more guys are swinging for the fences, trying to get the big hit. We don't see guys. Whit Merrifield led the major leagues or the American League in stolen bases last year with, I think, 34. Ricky Henderson had 131 season. Willie Wilson had, Vince Coleman had a couple hundred steal seasons. Willie Wilson stole 83 for the Royals and led the league one time. Yeah, do you wish that the game would be more into the, maybe it's the analytics and that's why guys can get thrown out more often. Maybe it's harder to steal, but does it seem to you like teams are waiting for just that big hit instead of manufacturing runs? Because that's something the Royals did really well in 2014 and 15 was use their speed. As Gerard Dyson said, that's what speed do. And that helped the Royals, but it doesn't seem like a lot of teams really use that type of formula anymore.
I didn't know those stats. That's crazy to know that. I could see that that's where the game is going, you know. It's funny, I see these World Poker Championships on ESPN, and all I do is look at the stats. The little, oh, he's got 19% chance to win.
Yes.
Or 18% chance to win. Well, it's funny because I think that's rolling over to baseball. You know, like, I think those guys, some of those managers are pretty smart, and they're taking their percentages and probably keeping that guy on first base, hoping this guy's just going to hit a home run, you know. It's definitely different. I don't know what made it different, what part of it is different on that aspect. I know that one thing has stayed the same for me, and that's the white lines have stayed straight, and the balls and strikes are over the plate, you know.
You were talking about the dimensions of the fields. Every field is different. I think that's an interesting thing that you bring up because the National Football League, we mentioned that earlier, it's a 100-yard field. I mean, dimensions are the same. You know, yes, there could be a wind effect out of the tunnel, like at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, this and that. Some stadiums are domed, and some stadiums, you know, have the open roof or it's outside. But how difficult is that to know some of the ballpark nuances when it comes to how every park is unique and different? And then, of course, over the years, there have been a few new ones that have popped up that you have to learn.
Yeah, we I make it a point myself that the first ballpark that I go to, say, for the first month of the year, every ballpark I go to, I walk it. So now 9 years, I've walked. I'm pretty sure I could say 100% that I've walked every ball field that we're in. And if it's a brand new ball field that the first time you're there, you walk it. You walk the inside. You walk all the way around it. You just check it out. You see where fans can reach over. You see, you know, where you can have fan interference. You can see where a ball could hit and stay in play, or a ball can hit and bounce out. You know, it's a game of inches. And so, you know, if you bring up Pittsburgh, you know, it's got a yellow line in left field. So yellow line's in play. But just behind that yellow line is a green fence that basically runs right up against that yellow line. So if nobody has walked that field and understands that just above the yellow line is a home run on that corner, then they're not going to know it, you know. And so anytime that I can help myself and arm myself with information, it's a good thing. And we all do it. We've all been taught that, you know. The next time that I'll walk a field will be in the playoffs with a supervisor. All of us will get there for our meeting, and then we will walk the field in the playoffs and just talk about if a ball can hit a camera at third base, you know, where is this, it's out of play, this netting is in play, and anytime you can arm yourself with information that's going to help you get a play right, I'm all for. And that helps us.
How far in advance do you know your schedule of where you're going to be for the regular season, and then how does that work when it comes to postseason time?
Yeah, so for the regular season, they reserve the right to switch us. So, like, I just got switched off of my crew to help them with another crew this last week. So, but they try to help you out. I think we get a schedule all the way up to about August 1st, and then they reserve the right to switch you if needed, if they need some help. And I, of course, will accommodate, no problem. That's part of my job. And for the playoffs, there's per our union, there's dates that they have to be out. I think, like, the first round of play, the wild card game, I think it has to be out, like, a week before the end of the season. So everything is just about a week and a half before, you know. They don't let us know too soon, too early. And even then, when they give that out to us, it is confidential until like the morning or the day before the game, and there's big reasons for that. Sure. Safety reasons is number one for us. The way I understand it is there's lots of money involved on these games, and so if somebody were to find out that Todd Tishner was working home plate of game one of the World Series,
right,
2 months before, that there could be implications to that.
Yep.
And I understand that, you know, and so safety is number one for me and my family, and so that's how that works.
Most interesting character you've dealt with in your time as a Major League Baseball umpire, whether it be a player, a manager, coach, whoever it might be.
Oh, you know, the most interesting guy, yeah, it's funny because the first name that popped up was Bobby Jones. He's a lifer, minor league manager. Had him in double A, triple A. So I worked with him for 5, 6, 7 years. He's now retired. I think he's doing some scouting stuff for the Texas Rangers. He was a first base coach for the Texas Rangers, a big league club for the last few years. He's just a funny old man. Every word out of his mouth is a curse word, and he doesn't mean to. He's not offending you at all, but he's telling you a curse word. And I had his first game. When all these years he's in the minor leagues, and he gets promoted to the first base coaching job at spring training. I had his first game at first base. So the first runner gets on base and gets picked off. And he looked at me and said, he said some stuff that I can't say on the air. And he's like, I'm going to get fired. This is my first day in the job. You know, I'm going to get fired. But Bobby Jones is always a funny guy, and I can say I ejected him twice in my career. So, you know, ejections happen, and I can still say we get along pretty good.
Yeah, that's funny. Todd Tischer, oh, go ahead.
There's some characters, umpire characters. There's just, I can tell you, we could sit and tell many stories. Some of them I couldn't be able to tell on the air, but I'll never forget, this game and what it's done for me, and I want to give back to it as much as possible.
Todd Tischer, Major League Baseball umpire, with us today on the Sports Ticket. Before we wrap up, a couple more questions. You know, I think a lot of people, and I've talked about this before on the show, that people go, oh, we've had Kevin Kugler on. He's the national play-by-play voice of the Final Four. Of course, people look at Kevin Harlan, or you look at Marv Albert, or you look at Bob Costas, or guys that are known in the sports broadcasting industry. You know, Joe Buck does a lot of big games. And immediately people say, especially those that are in the broadcasting industry, wow, that's the dream job. That's what you want to do. That looks great. That looks so much fun. But we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And I would guess that people that aspire to be a Major League Baseball umpire, like you did many years ago when you're very young, you wanted to be a Major League Baseball umpire, that there are pros and cons to the position. And one of the things that people don't see, and it looks glossy on the outside, people listening to this interview may go, man, what a great job Todd Tischer has being an umpire in Major League Baseball. Or there might be people going, what a really difficult job that is, because when he messes up once or twice, he'll hear all about it. But with everything that's glossy, there are other things that are challenges. And just talk about the challenges it presents for you when you travel 7-8 months out of the year to all these ballparks. The strain it can put, you got to have a really good support system back home, don't you?
Yeah, that's the hard part. I have to get reminded every now and then that I get to go to work at a ballpark, because sometimes it's difficult and you don't want to be there. You know, the first thing is travel. Nobody sees me getting up for those 6 a.m. flights every 3 days. We're there for a series. Most series are three-game series. So, day one, you just flew in from a 6 a.m. flight. You get in at 11. Sometimes your hotel room's not ready, so you don't get in until 1 to the room, 1 or 2. So then you got to be at the ballpark at 5. So now you got that quick 2-3 hour nap in. You get to the ballpark, it's 30,000 people, you work the plate, you can't just go to bed. You go back to the hotel room, you call the family. Now you sleep in just a little bit longer the next morning. Day two, you start over, do the same thing. Now we get to day three. Oh, the game's over, and it's over at 1 or 2. You get back to the hotel at 1 or 2, and you got a 6 a.m. flight. You got to do it again. And nobody sees that aspect of the turnover of having to go through TSA, pack your bag, the delays at the airports. I just got, my 3-hour delay in Miami. And so then I put these expectations when I say that on myself, but then now I still have to call home and be a good dad and see how the kids off to school or how their summer's going, or and help with my 12-year-old. Hey, get your butt out there and go mow now, and push things and still get things going at home. And so Kelly's, I've been 21 years now, been married. She's been with me since the Pioneer League. She's she's definitely the rock of the family. She knows she's the boss for sure. You got to have a good home front. And I've got three kids now. Caden's 18, Cooper's 12, and Tegan is 6. So it seems like every weekend we got something going on. If it ain't baseball, it's swimming. So for her to be able to get that back home and keep the family moving forward is definitely hard on both of us. You know, for me to have to text my son day before yesterday on Sunday night and say, hey, buddy, I'm not going to be able to make your game. I'm sorry. And for the emoji face that he sent me back, I knew that he was hurting. That had been the first baseball game I got to see all summer of him. And that's the part that nobody sees. That's the mental part, the grind. But then again, you ask me again, and I say, hey, every night I get to go to work at a ballpark,
So
I appreciate that. I appreciate you asking that, because nobody really sees that part,
No, there's a lot more to every job. A lot of people, it applies to any job, really, when you think about it.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
All right, time for off-the-wall questions. What can you think of a moment, whether when you were umpiring, can you think of a moment, whether you're on the field or maybe it was before a game started or after a game or during a game, where your jaw just dropped? You can't believe what you saw, whether it was a monster home run or an unbelievable defensive play or something weird and wacky that happened on the field. What can you think of a moment where your jaw just dropped and you were like, for a moment, not an umpire, but you're like a spectator or something weird like that?
Well, that's what baseball is crazy about. You see something crazy every day, something new for sure every day, and we've got the best athletes getting to see center fielders cover some ground. down and dive and robbing home runs or Evan Gattis hitting balls out of Houston that I've never seen before. I'd say the first thing is probably some of the achievements that I've seen would be like being on the field for that perfect game, the 19th perfect game, Dallas Braden's. That was basically a moment where I could step out after the game, step out of my body and go, wow, you know, I'm on the field for the 19th perfect game in history, you know. The guy from Miami last year threw a no-hitter. I was at second base. My chief, Bill Miller, was there. Things like that. You're not around the game. I'm around the game so much that stuff doesn't happen. You know, to have a perfect game is unbelievable, to even be behind the plate for one, but just to be on the field for one. And so things like that, I guess, is what I cherish. You know, what I look back on is awesome, pretty awesome moments.
Have you ever been at a ball game and a streaker has run onto the field?
Yes, many times. Two of the worst ones that I tell are in Portland, Oregon, AAA. The guy jumps off the dugout. I swear he should have broke his leg. He was buck naked, jumps off the dugout over the players, so you can see what the players are seeing as he's jumping over them.
Oh, goodness.
He runs from center field to left field to home plate before they catch him. This happened in probably the fifth inning, middle of the game. And after the game, we're walking out of our tunnel, and the cops still had him cuffed to the fence naked. So that was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen, was the guy was still cuffed to the fence. They were waiting till after the game to take him to jail. So that was a pretty funny one. And then the next one was when my kids were visiting Seattle. It was New York at Seattle. And for some reason, it becomes a phenomenon when one person does it. So one person did it with his clothes on, ran around crazy, got all there. Well, then an inning later, a naked one runs on the field. And then two innings later, another naked one runs on the field. And the hard part, we found out, we are close with the police officers. They escort us on and off the field and stuff. And they said it was a Memorial weekend. So there was no judges for the weekend, and they were off on the Monday, and that was like a Saturday game. So those guys were staying in jail until Tuesday.
Wow.
So, and yeah, they, you know, I suggest you don't do it, even if you're one of the drunkest guys out there for $1,000 that your buddy's going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good idea, but they are pretty funny when it happens.
If you want to be really, really popular and you want your own YouTube channel, Todd, You need to be the first umpire, and maybe it's already happened before. I'm not privy to this information. Be the first umpire to clothesline one of those streakers during a Major League Baseball game. Your name would be off the charts, dude. You could retire. You could retire from MLB and make all the money that comes off of all that YouTube watching and ads. You would just
residuals.
That's it. You would make a ton of money off residuals, man.
I hear you. Yeah, let's get it done then. Why don't you get to one of my games and you let me tackle you?
Oh, no. Lord knows nobody needs to see any of that. No, I'll hire somebody. I'll hire somebody to do that before it's me. I guarantee you. I'm not fast enough. I wouldn't even make it to where you're at before I get clotheslined and decked by somebody. Knowing my luck, it'd be like Major League. I'll get hit by a bat or something as I run out there. Where are you guys going on every year? You and your family try to go to a ballpark, kind of a family trip where you're going to be umping. Have you guys picked this spot this year, or have you already done that?
Well, you know, we haven't picked anything far yet because we've had baseball all summer for Cooper, the traveling one, and Caden, actually, he signed at the Garden City Community College to play baseball. He's been gone in a 5-week wooden bat league in Norfolk, so everybody went and saw him. But so far, the best one I've had, got to see the kids, and I really needed it. I just got done with 27 straight days of working with no day off. So
wow.
That's the other thing nobody saw.
Yeah.
I was expected to be perfect, and I just did a 27-day straight. But over that 27 days, I was at Denver for the 4th of July, and so family got to come down, and I got to see them. And Denver's, if you've never been, Denver's one of the best places to watch a game. It's just great. A great ballpark to be in, and behind the scenes, the people that take care of us really care about us and want to make sure that we're okay. And I don't really ask for much, but when my family's there and when they make sure that they're okay, it's even better. So that was a good week to have them down. And if you've never seen a fireworks show that is unbelievable, I have out of my 20 years in the game, I haven't watched very many fireworks because we try to beat the crowd, but that fireworks show at Denver is unbelievable.
Todd, it's always a pleasure to talk to you every year during the All-Star break. We know you have a lot going on, and we appreciate you taking the time to share with us some of the umpire perspectives, because a lot of people, I think, find it a little bit refreshing to get an inside glimpse as to what you go through as a Major League umpire. And there's so much criticism of officials and refs and umps, even at youth sporting events, for crying out loud. And that's not easy. And those folks sometimes are volunteers that don't get paid. And that's where you start, I'm sure you started, is at that level and worked your way up. And we might have people right here in our backyard that might be Major League Baseball umpires someday, or NFL officials or NBA referees. You never know. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share your experiences with us on the Sports Ticket each and every All-Star break.
Oh, I tell you what, I appreciate it. And the only one that won't make it that thinks he's a wannabe referee is that old Devin Treister. So that's the only thing. You know, anybody else that's listening out there knows that they got a shot to make it. But I don't know about that guy.
Did you know he threw out another football player at the 8-man All-Star games? That's three. Seriously, there's only been three players ever kicked out 8-man All-Star games, and he's been on the crew of each one of those. Did it again this year, Todd.
Oh, that's great to hear.
It was warranted, though. I'll back him up. This year, it was definitely warranted. The other two, you'll have to talk to him about, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
God bless you, man, and God bless your family, and best of luck the rest of the season, buddy.
Hey, thanks for always having me on. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, Todd Tischner, Major League Baseball umpire, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.